We had such an incredible time yesterday at the egg extravaganza. Over 10,000 eggs. But I have to tell you guys something funny. This has never happened to us before. We use the same vendor that we always normally use. But yesterday, something really funny happened, if you have a good sense of humor. Somebody had pre-stuffed the eggs with fortune teller cookies. So some people opened it to find a fortune that was in there. That was not Bethany that put that in there. These are not prophetic words that were being spoken. We're complaining to the appropriate people, but what's so funny is we got home and my daughter opened up an egg and there was a fortune in there. She said, "What is this?" And Angie said, "Oh, you don't need that." And she threw it in the garbage. She said, "This is a holy house." So, quite funny, quite funny. Guys, today I want to continue our series on my testimony. Last week we had the great privilege of listening to Derek Carr. If you missed it, man, go back and watch it. It was so tremendous. I had a guy in a church who I love text me afterwards, and he said, you know, there's a passage in the book of Acts where there was a king named Agrippa, and Paul preached to Agrippa, and Agrippa was convicted to his heart, to his core, and he said, "Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian." And he texted him, and he said, "I'm like King Agrippa. He almost persuaded me to be a Saints fan." So, but we're just encouraging people to be bold in their testimony. Hey, listen to me. You have an incredible testimony. If you're sitting in this room, a church is a group of people who all have testimonies. Wave at me if you have a testimony that you once were something and God changed your life. And the whole purpose of this series is just to empower you to not forget your testimony and to not just conceal your testimony, but to be bold in your proclamation of your testimony. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. So this is Palm Sunday, and it's a Sunday that we just recognize that Christ entered back into Jerusalem. And you know the story. People threw their garments down and they had palm branches and they began to sing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And there was quite a celebration. And as these children were celebrating and as the people were celebrating the coming of Jesus, the Pharisees were upset and they said, "Teacher, tell these people to be quiet. This is blasphemy. They shouldn't be celebrating you in this way." And he said, "I'm telling you the truth. If these were quiet, then the very rocks themselves would cry out and give testimony." Amen. Testimony is powerful. And today I want to talk to you about being in the crowd of testimony, being in the crowd of testimony. You're in a crowd of testimony right now. You're not by yourself. So when you say amen and a person next to you says amen, then there's something that is compelling about the crowd of testimony. We're all publicly declaring what Christ has done. Come on, try it real quick. Just say amen, say hallelujah, say and then elbow somebody and say, "It's good to sit next to you." We're in the crowd of testimony. So this crowd of testimony followed Jesus all the way from Galilee. And in your imagination, go with me for a moment and just put yourself there. Many people believe this is 40 to 50 days prior to the crucifixion. Jesus was in Galilee, which is about 100 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And in Luke chapter 9, it says that he set his face like a stone towards Jerusalem, and he decided that he was going to go and die. And this was an intentional move. He wasn't uncertain about what would happen to him there. He knew he was going to be killed. And so I would imagine that his tone got more serious. I'm sure Jesus always had joy and was always fun to be around, but I would imagine that in this journey towards Jerusalem that he probably got more serious and he began to say final words to people. And as he was marching, he told his disciples clearly, "I'm going to die," but for some reason they couldn't hear it, they couldn't believe it. He was such a hero, they just couldn't even process him actually dying. So he's on the road to Jerusalem, and along the way, he is healing people like crazy. Now, Jesus would heal hundreds of people a day. He would heal people of demon possession. He would heal people of diseases and leprosy, of paralysis. And so he wasn't alone in this journey to Jerusalem. People started to drop everything they were doing and just follow him. So the Bible tells us that it got so severe, he could not even enter into cities because the crowd was so huge. A multitude of people who all had testimonies, people whose lives he had transformed. And they were all just surging and around him. He comes to a city of Jericho, and as he's entering, there's a man named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus begins to cry out to him, said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus hears him, goes to him, and heals him of his blindness. And in my imagination, I think Bartimaeus has been a beggar his whole life. He don't have a job. He doesn't have anything to do. So he just says, "I'm going to follow Jesus too." So in this crowd of testimony is a blind man named Bartimaeus. But as Jesus was exiting Jericho, there was a man in a tree. His name was Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a fraudster. He was a tax collector. He was somebody who had defrauded his own people. And he was up there, and Jesus stops at the tree and calls this broken, despised man out of the tree and says, "I'm coming to your house to have dinner with you today." Jesus converts Zacchaeus, and I would imagine that Zacchaeus dropped everything and followed Jesus as well. So in this crowd of thousands of Jesus followers, everybody had a testimony. And so they come to the Mount of Olives. Jesus tells his disciples, "Go into the city and get a colt for me." Jesus, this has all been prophesied. Jesus is walking in destiny. He gets this colt, and then these thousands of people who all had testimony began to cheer and shout. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a moment that was big, but if you ever go to a Tigers game on like a football day, and you see the band coming down, and you have, you know, the Mike the Tiger is coming down, you get swept away in the party of it all. And I would imagine that this was similar. It was just a huge party. So I want us to read it. Here's our text in Luke chapter 19, verse 34. It says, "And the disciples simply replied, 'The Lord needs it.' So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen." Do you know, in church services, the reason why we clap and sing and shout is because we all have testimonies. He's done great things for us. And so we're here to testify. And just like these disciples were praising him as he was entering Jerusalem, every Sunday, we gather together and we praise the one who set us free. We praise the one who has delivered our lives. And we're in that great crowd of testimony. Verse 38 says, "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." And he replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheer." So I have a question. What is a testimony? What is a testimony? This is what a testimony is. I once was blank, but now I'm blank. And every single one of you in this room has a "I once was, but now I am." Pause a moment and think about your once was and now where you are. And I want you to testify to your neighbor. And I really want you to do this. I want you to testify, "I once was, but now I'm this. And I once was stubborn, and now I'm moldable. I once was profane, but now I'm clean." I once, whatever it is, I want you to take a moment and testify to somebody. Go for it. Chose an easy one. Somebody said, "I don't have time to tell it all. I have to summarize." So you just shared that testimony. Did that do something for your heart? Just to tell somebody, "I once was, but now I am." And who's the one who did that? Jesus. So we're a part of the crowd of testimony. And I want you to hear this, that every single Christian has a testimony. The church is built of people that all have testimony. If you don't have a testimony, then you don't belong. So well, that's harsh to say. Well, actually, in heaven, one day, every single person in heaven will have a testimony. I once was, but then Jesus. Otherwise, you don't need to be there. He is the one who has saved us. He's the one who has purchased us. He's the one who has bought us with his blood. Revelation 5 verse 8 says, and when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lord. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have caused them, he is the cause, he has caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. So every single person that is going to show up in heaven will have a testimony. And maybe you're sitting there saying, well, I've been good my whole life. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So at a very basic level, even if you're glorifying how good you've been your whole life, you just need to say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was a sinner, but now I am forgiven. You have a testimony. And so we have to recognize that we all have a testimony. Now, in that crowd that day, I would see four major categories of people. The first crowd was the ones that say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. But imagine that Zacchaeus was there on that day, and Zacchaeus had spent his entire life chasing money, just trying to make it rich for himself. He was a lost person, but he became found. Is there anybody here that can remember before Jesus got you that you just wandered around? You just were lost. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have lost our way. We chase all kind of things. We were lost, but he has found us. If you've ever heard the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Don't you love that song, Amazing Grace? And that song is a hugely popular song. But maybe you didn't know this. There was a man named John Newton. John Newton was born in England, and he got somewhat forced into the British Royal Navy. And he was a deserter. He decided to desert his post, and one day he didn't show up. They went and found him, and they brought him, locked him up. And in front of everybody, they put him on a whipping post, and they whipped him for being a deserter to the Royal Navy. This continued on where they could not. He was so rebellious and so stubborn, they could not control him. Finally, one day, he asked to be dismissed from the Royal Army. They'd had enough of it. And there was a slave vessel that was close by, and he boarded this vessel that transported slaves from Africa to America. On this boat, he started off on the bottom rung and just began to clean the decks. But eventually, he would become the captain of a ship that brought slaves from Africa to America. And he did this almost for a decade and was a part of things that were so horrific and terrible that finally, one day, God convicted his soul of what he was doing. He quit the slave trade and he gave his heart to Jesus. He began to train to become a pastor, and over 10 years later, when all of it finally sank into his heart, what he had been a part of and how horrible what he had done was, he wrote the song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. And when he said wretch, he meant wretch. In his heart, he said, I was a wretch, but the Lord saved me. And you say, well, yeah, what a dog. I don't even know if I want to sing that song anymore. But I want you to think about your life. Every single one of us have thoughts. We've said things. We've gone our own way. The Bible says all of us like sheep have gone astray. The Lord has laid upon him the sins of us all. So when he sang Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound that saved a wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I'm see. It came from a deep place. And then in the next few decades, he gave his life to the abolition of slavery and was one of the leading voices that caused it to be canceled globally, starting right there from the House of Lords in England. And so what a phenomenal testimony of somebody who was lost but found. Then I think in the crowd that day were those that would say, I was bound, but now I'm free. And man, life has a way of putting chains around us, addictions and things that we get into that we cannot break. And there's also adversaries. There's spiritual adversaries that hate your soul, that want to dominate you and take over your life through oppression, depression, possession, all the eshens. They want to rule you, but Jesus Christ sets the captives free. And throughout his ministry, he would set people free. There was one man who had so many demons in him that they could not keep chains on him. He would just break chains and take his, he had no clothes on, and he was in the caves. Jesus comes and liberates this man from possibly thousands of demons, because when Jesus says, "What is your name?" the demons spoke out and said, "We are legion, for we are many." We're talking about a possessed man, and Jesus had the authority to liberate this man in just one moment. I think that in the crowd of people screaming Hosanna that day was possibly the man who had been set free from all of these demons. And the Pharisees tried to tell him to be quiet. He was like, "There's no way I'm going to be quiet. This man liberated me from bondage. I once was bound, but now I'm free." Is there anybody in the room today that he set you free from bondage and from a life controlled by the enemy? I want to show you a video of a testimony of a dear man in our church, Roger Bauer. If you've been around Bethany for a while, you probably know Roger. Roger has such an amazing testimony. As a matter of fact, when we interviewed him, the interview was about 2 hours of him telling his testimony. We've just skimmed it down to about 5 minutes today, and I want to share with you how the Lord liberated Roger. So this is Roger's testimony. Check it out.
I was introduced into everything from heroin to psychedelics to what is now called ecstasy, MDA, a whole gambit of things. And so each week of the next 8 months, I participated in everything Bethany had. Every service, every prayer meeting, everything, I was there. But I would leave those meetings, and if I could, I would get high. In the addiction ministry that Bethany had at that time called Free Indeed, one Thursday night, I was there, and a man walked in late and asked to sit down and tell his story. So he comes in and he tells this story of how he was this same kind of guy, only he was confessing all the things that I would never confess. And then he talked about this place that he went to in California. He said that he received a miracle there. I ended up getting on a plane and going to California. The fifth day I was there, they had brought into the hospital this woman. So all of a sudden she raises her hand and she says she wants to talk. She starts telling a story about being 9 years old and having her uncle babysit her and then become sexually abused by other family members. So she got pregnant and she got abortions. So she confessed 6 abortions. At this very moment, the psychologist knocks on the group therapy door, and I didn't think I could stand even being in there any longer, so I'm, you know, getting out of there as quick as I can and rattling my cage. "Oh, Doc, you ain't gonna believe what just happened in there." He said, what? "Settle down. What do you know?" So we sit down at one of these tables out in the courtyard in the sun, and all of a sudden, I leave my body. The Lord stops time, and now he starts talking to me. And I knew it was him. Who else could it be? And he says, "You made your wife have 3 abortions. And she's repented, but you never have." And at that moment, he shut off the lights. I was still in suspended animation, is the only way I can describe it. his complete out-of-body experience. Shut out the lights and turned on the pain. And every cell in my body exploded in pain like I've never felt before or since. I still can't get past two possibilities: that either he was allowing me to experience what hell was going to be like if I didn't repent, or he was showing me what he went through to pay for the sin that he wanted me to repent of. In other words, he was revealing the pain of the cross. And then, boom, just like he just threw me back in my body, started the clock, and there I was at the table. I was weeping, and psychologist across the table from me looked like he had seen all this before and was nonchalant as he could be. He said, "Ah, you look like you might want to be free." I said, "You're just, you know, sobbing and just like, Doc, if you can do anything." He said, "Just repeat after me. Father God, if you will take this pain away from me, I promise that I will never do drugs again for the rest of my life. I deserve no more mercy. Amen." And when I said amen, something left my body. That's the only way I can describe it. Something like left. Not me. I was still sitting there, fully aware of everything. And he said, "You're free. Don't go use again." And I said, "I have no intention of using again. I've never used drugs again in the last 30 years. I would say this to people that might be struggling with this. Don't give up. God is way more powerful than the enemy. You going to agree with death because it's everywhere? Are you going to agree with life? But it only has one source. Don't give up." Don't give up.
You know, it's so awesome that the Lord still liberates captives like that. You know, if you're here right now and that's your story, you're battling with addiction and you just have bondage in your life, Jesus can set you free. And that is the testimony of every single person that Christ has set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you know, Roger went on to participate in a drug rehab program here at the church that we saw literally hundreds of men go through, called the Lazarus Project. And Roger was just a tremendous part of that. But the Lord really set Roger free. You know who else was in the crowd that day? Was people whom Jesus had healed. And there are some who would like to say, "Oh, he don't still heal today." But I want to let you know that Jesus still heals today. He heals our broken bodies because, you know, as you live and you get older, you realize we need healing. And there's anybody need a healing in the place? Or you need Jesus to touch you? Well, in this party of people celebrating, I would imagine that there were lepers present who. At one time, they weren't able to go around other people, but their skin had been cleansed because Jesus had healed their disease. I think about 10 of them that one day they came to him, and just one word from Jesus's mouth, and all 10 of them were healed. One returned and gave him glory. But in that crowd that day was probably the woman that had an issue of blood, and he had healed her body. In the crowd that day was probably the lame people who he had caused to walk again, or the person with a deformed hand that God healed his hand. And in that crowd that day were people who he had healed. Is there anybody in the room this morning that at some point in your life, Jesus has healed your body? Come on, raise your hand and testify. Look around the room right now. The people who are part of the crowd of testimony that Jesus heals. You know something, a cool testimony that just happened here recently was Christine Henderson, and I'm going to let her share her story. But the Lord created a brand new organ in her body. Check it out.
I am Christine Henderson. and I have been at Bethany since 1999. In 2016-17, I started feeling very, very sick, and my health started going down. So I went to the doctor, and I had had to have biopsies on my throat, and then that's when they were like, this is cancer, you know, we need to remove your thyroid. So we set up an appointment for me to have the surgery, had the surgery, had a full thyroidectomy, everything was removed, and they actually had to cut me a little bit more because the goiters were so big, they were starting to wrap around my esophagus. That was in 2018. And then last year, as a matter of fact, almost a year ago this time, it was last April, I started feeling sick. I started emotionally, physically, everything. So I went back to the doctor and they felt a lump and they thought the cancer was coming back. So they fit me in right then to go get another ultrasound done on my thyroid, on my neck area. So we went, we did that, and I never heard back from them. And it was like weeks and weeks. And so I was like trying to have a peace about it and just rely on God. Went to prayer one night, and Pastor Kristen West at the South Campus, she was at prayer and she was praying. And she started praying over digestive systems and thyroid issues. And I immediately felt the presence of God touch me. It was like I knew that I did not have to call about that biopsy. I knew I was fine. I just felt it in every part of my being that it was, I felt it. So went to the doctor for my scheduled appointment, and she was like, okay, so you had a partial thyroidectomy. And I said, no. I said, I had the full thyroidectomy. She's like, no. And so I'm sitting here arguing with this doctor, and I'm like, no, they took the whole thyroid out. She's like, half your thyroid is there in the right side, and she said, it's perfect. She said, it's there, it's beautiful, it looks like a brand new thyroid, and there's no cancer on it. And so a few weeks later, I started feeling better. My thyroid levels were coming back down to normal, and so my thyroid is back, and I have a half a thyroid now. I knew immediately that was what it was God healed me. So it might have been cancer, the lump might have been cancer, it might have came back, but God healed me that night at prayer.
Amen. Over and over and over, Jesus does this for us, not just 2,000 years ago, but in 2024, he heals our bodies. Amen. And you know, the fourth type of testimony that I think, and I see it all the time, is when the Lord takes somebody that doesn't have purpose. I once was purposeless, but now I'm called. And he takes people that don't really know what they're doing, and he gives them a mission, gives them a purpose in life. There was a man named Nathaniel who in the early chapters of the Gospels was sitting under a fig tree. And somebody came to him and said, you have to come. I've found the Messiah. And Nathaniel says, no, there's no way. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? And he brings Nathanael to Jesus, and Jesus says, I've not seen integrity like this in all of Israel. And Nathanael says, how do you know me? And Jesus goes on and discloses that he is the Lord. And Nathanael says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And I'm sure that day there were a lot of people that were in the crowd that weren't necessarily drug addicts and far strung out people, but just religious people that he had redirected and given purpose to. And you know, not every testimony has to be, I was a prostitute and he sets me free. There are some testimonies. People grew up in a saved environment, in a church environment, but the Lord finds them and redirects them and puts them on a path of purpose. Anybody here like that? You're like, anybody just born saved, like just you've always been in church? You're like, I don't have a testimony. No, the Lord calls you and into his work, calls you into his kingdom. But I will tell you this, that every single one of us have fallen short and have sinned, and the Lord has restored us. But some of us, God puts us on a purpose, and he gives us a calling. Think about Jordan. Jordan is, you're going to see a testimony of him. Jordan's here today. And I just love to see how God is using Jordan and has put Jordan in a path of purpose. So y'all check out this video.
the moment that I had an encounter with Jesus, that's when my whole life changed and everything was like for the kingdom. And I'm truly living through generational prayers, generational blessings, prayers that my grandfather, that my father prayed over me. My name is Jordan Johnson. I'm 19 years old. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. So I've been playing sports since I was like 4 years old. Basketball, football, and baseball. But I stuck to basketball around 12. So I'm going for it. I love basketball a little bit more than I love church, I won't lie. I tear my meniscus. I'm at 15 years old. And the revelation I got from that is God had to shift my foundation to show me that I was leaning on my own understanding and not his. And so ever since then, that's when I was like, you know what, God? I don't know what this is. I don't know what this means. I'm 15. I don't know, but I'm just going to say yes. Like, growing up, I was never really a bad kid or anything. And it was like, I was going through the motions. Time and time again, I've never been hungry. I've never been all these things. But the eviction notice is standing right there. Like, this is real life. And he would just showcase his love in those various different ways. But then when I had that personal relationship with Jesus, things didn't, it wasn't just morally good, but it was spiritually good. I've always wanted my parents to never have to pay for school because I'm a poor family, so like they can't afford that. My goal was to get a basketball scholarship so I can have a full ride. He began to give me this burden to stay at home. And I began to see my small town, the young people here need the love of Jesus, and it's like they're getting overlooked. It was a real hard decision to make, but I said, you know what? I'm gonna apply to LSU. I said, God, this is really you. This is gonna be the only college I apply to. 2 weeks later, I didn't just get accepted, but they told me that full tuition, everything was gonna be paid for. I believe that God has called me to be there and to be that bridge and being the love of Christ on LSU's campus where so many young people need it. When things get tough, when things get hard, I can look back like Joshua and say, oh wait, I have these memorial stones so I can go back and see who God has been before.
The point is, every single person in this room that has come to know Jesus has a testimony. And I want to read Psalm 107, verse 2. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. Psalm 105 says, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him. Yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. Psalm 40, verse 10. I have not kept the good news of your justice just hidden in my heart. I've talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I've told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Scripture after scripture after scripture, the Lord tells us to not be quiet and shy about our testimony, but to speak out. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.